we're having, and it shows us in the book of Daniel that how the nations as leaders is falling. But we know, to start with, that spiritual awakening does not come through a nation first. It do not even come to a church first, but the spiritual awakening comes to individuals first. So I'd like for us to look at a man called David. David in the Bible, Psalms 51, in the joy of your salvation. I don't know about you, but I enjoy salvation. I pray and thank the Lord every morning. That's the first thing I do, is I thank the Lord for salvation and all the doors and all the aspect that goes along with salvation, the joy and the forgiveness and the peace and the mercy. And so many things that goes with salvation besides the heaven itself and the presence of Jesus Christ. So I just thank him so much. But as we look at this Psalm 51 about the joy of being returned to David and the joy that we know that God wants to give us, each and every one of us today. In Psalm 51, in verses 1, it says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitudes of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Wash me through from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be cleansed when thou judgest." Let us go to the Lord again in prayer. Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for your mercy, and we want to thank you for loving us so much. And God, we know that you love us and you want to cover us. And Father, we just pray this day that we might have a joyful relationship with you, to understand the love and the mercy and the grace, God, for each and every one of us. How much that you'd like to bless us this day. Father, far more than we can understand the blessings that you would like to bless us with if we was to get ourselves in the way that we could receive these blessings. And Father, we know that we're just human beings, and we know we're just old clay, but we just want to thank you for these old vessels, and Father, the Spirit of God that lives in us this hour. And Father, if the one here today has never accepted you as Lord and Savior, Father, we know they have no joy in the Lord. We just pray today before they leave this service that, Father, they may be filled with this joy because they're filled with the Spirit of God, and accept your grace, Father, and your gracious mercy upon Calvary's cross. So Father, we pray, God, that you might get the honor and glory of everything that's said and done here this day, this hour. Father, we thank you for the songs. We thank you for the prayers. We just thank you, Lord, for the reading of your precious word. And Father, we know that your presence is with us, and we thank you and we praise you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And amen and amen. Now, David, we all know about old David. You say David, the first thing that most people think in their mind, well, old David was a great sinner. And he was. He was a great sinner. Adultery, but you not only that, he was guilty of cold-blooded murder. But I tell you something else was great about David. He was a great repenter. He was a great repenter. And that makes it stand out to me. Because, you see, the old devil likes to tempt us. And he says, you go ahead and you sin now, you Christians. You can get by with it. And he becomes our tempter. But after we sin, he comes our accusers. And then he says, you can't get by with it. That's the old devil himself. The devil wants to get us off balance. He would like to get you out of the will of God and bring discouragement into your life as a Christian. That's what he does. Brings discouragement, because we'll have to admit, you see, sometimes we'll slip. You might feel that you'll never ever come back to God like you need to. Maybe we have sinned, and maybe old David felt this way, that he could never ever come back. Big sin, little sin. Maybe he just felt, I will never be able to come back. That's the reason we have this Psalm 51 penned in God's word by the Holy Spirit of God through the life of David, that he come back. And nobody, if they're a saved person, cannot get too far that God can't bring them back. And I tell you, you can't get too close to God that you can't fall away either, because David was a man after God's own heart, no matter where you stand with Jesus Christ. The capability of sin in the saint. You know what? You as a saved person here tonight, you have the capability of sin. Do y'all really realize that? That you're saved and you're on your way to heaven, but you still have that capability to sin in your life? I'd like to ask you here this morning. I don't want you to stand up and give a testimony, but I'd like to ask you now, have you ever told a lie? Just a little one. Maybe a white one, maybe a black one, whatever color you want to color it. Have you ever told one? Have you ever stole anything? A pencil, a nickel from your mama. Have you ever stole anything? Well, I believe I can say here this morning what we're working with is a bunch of liars and stealers. Am I correct? We're all guilty? Well, David wasn't by himself, then was he? And I want you to know these fingers are pointing back to me. That we all guilty, and we have the capability of sin. Now, 1 John 1 and 10 said, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. I hope the truth is in you this morning, because I believe we understand that this morning. Saved, but you know, we still may have some undetectable weakness that we go from time to time, and we sin. Saved, along the way, we see we do things we ought not to do. I think we all guilty of that. But you see, even though that you're saved and we slip, and you might say we sin because we do, but you see, that can't take away your salvation if you're saved. Aren't you glad of that? You know you ought to thank God for that right now, because it's because of God, not because of you. You see, if you're bound to sin, though, you're bound to suffer. Just like putting your hand on a hot stove, you're bound to get burnt. But we see, as we've come a long way, though, haven't we not? We've come a long way. We just celebrated the 4th of July, 130-something years of the history of our country, which we still are a young country. We've come a long way in our country. I remember whenever I was a boy, we had a hope book, a wish book. It was called the Sears and Roebuck Catalog. That was called the wish book. But you see, things were simple, and things was very plain. And us boys, we had us a horse, and it was an old broken backer stick with a string tied around it. And the girls, they could make them a doll out of an old sock with some cotton in it. And you know, when we wanted to play ball, we didn't go buy a $150, $200 ball bat. We went down to the creek and cut us a big old, big-ended black gum for a ball bat. Things were simple and things were plain, but I tell you, we've left a lot of them behind. And we're living in the day of technology and electronics marvel, I tell you. And they call these smartphones. I'm not smart enough to use one of these simple phones, much less a smartphone. I'm telling you, I've never seen so many things that you can do with a telephone. I don't even want one of them, because you got to be smart to have one of them, these smartphones. I mean, the transportation, come a long ways in a few years in our country, from horse and buggies, I'm telling you, to the super highways, communication system. Look at our government. Every phone call and everything that you say can be recorded somewhere out there in Utah, somewhere in this building they're building. Can you imagine how many phone calls and all the technology it takes to store all this stuff they have in this world today? We have made progress, I tell you. Scientifically, we've made progress in such a few years, and technology is beyond my understanding. But I'll tell you one thing we have not progressed in, and that's spiritual immorality. Spirituality has gone down. Religion, they tell us, is increasing in the United States, but our morals is declining with an accelerating rate. You know, churches no longer hold standards for the faithfulness and responsibility for their members no longer. You know, fathers are really not their spiritual leaders, and they don't bring their kids to church and see them at church any longer. Mothers are no longer the keeper of the home and raising their children, but they farm out for dollars. Parents cave in for every little whim of the little boys and girls, and they can't control them at a small age. And we see that teens are more interesting in being popular and being in style than they are honoring God. Drugs is widespread across our land. We no longer blush over sin that we see on television, but we laugh at it. And we joke about the things of God so many times. We tolerate dishonesty in our government. And we elect leaders that have no principles or no morals. And it used to be where white was white and black was black, and now it's just a gray issue for most people. We're suffering from spiritual gangrene in our country. And we paralyzed, seem like to do anything about it. That's why of sin, and this reason Psalm 51 was wrote to me. It was wrote to me. How that you can come back when you're down and when you've sinned. And to recognize this as a person, and to recognize this as a church, and to recognize this as a nation. Because we all have admitted, have we not, that we all have sinned. We all know we will sin. We have the capability of sin in the life of a saint. Now the Bible is true, and it tells us about our sin, whether you like it or not. It tells us about our sin. It makes me think of this ex-prize fighter. A very strong man got saved, and man, he wanted to get out and spread the word of God. Well, he went and told everybody about Jesus, about the word of God, but he ran across this agnostic. They did not believe the Bible at all. And they had some rounds of discussion, and this old ex-prize fighter says, now, if I can show you one verse of the Bible that's true, would you believe the rest of it? If I could just make you believe just one verse of the Bible, he says, yeah, I would. So the old ex-prize fighter just grabbed that man's nose and twisted it until the blood ran down his cheeks. He said, now read Psalm 30 and 33, and this is what it says. Surely the churning of milk bringeth forth butter, and the twisting of the nose bringeth forth blood. He said, I believe. Do you believe that you have sinned? Do you believe this Bible's just not talking about David? Do you believe you have room for improvements? Most of the time as a Christian, it's not what we do, but it's what we do not do that brings sin into our life so many, many times. To a nation, to a believer is bound to sin, we're bound to suffer. We're suffering in our nation. We're suffering in our families. We're suffering in our churches, and we're suffering individually because God would like to bless us far more than what we're capable to take from God or allow him to bless us. And verses 1 and 2, it says, the sin, the consequence of the sin in the saints. Have mercy upon me, O God, David said, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitudes of thy tender mercy, blot out my transgression, wash me thoroughly from my iniquities, and cleanse me from my sin. What sin does in the life of a saint. To start with, sin soils the soul. Because you say, I feel dirty, wash me and cleanse me. Have you ever done that? Have you ever felt dirty? Have you ever sinned and you felt like you need cleansing? I tell you, I believe we can all understand what he's talking about. Not the physical dirtiness, but sometimes you go into places and you feel like you're dirty all over and you need to take a bath. But he was a king. He slept in satin sheets probably. He was a king, but yet he says, I feel dirty. You see, here's the test of salvation to us. Does your sin make you feel dirty? Does sin make you feel dirty? Well, to the lost person, they don't have no care about that because, they say, well, what's wrong with it? The sin in their mind is so far from God, they say, well, what's wrong with it? For instance, what's wrong with homosexuality? After all, you was born that way. You see, what's wrong with it? But a child of God knows what God said. God says, I didn't make you that way. That's your sin. That's your sin. What's wrong with it? You see, a pig and a sheep. A pig don't mind wallowing in the mud, not one bit. Don't bother that pig. Just feels natural because he's a pig. That's the nature of a pig. But a sheep, on the other side, they don't like to get in water. They don't like to get wet. They don't like to get dirty. It's their nature. Now, your nature, how do you feel about it this morning? But not only do we find out that sin soils the soul, but sin also saturates the mind. It saturates our mind so much. Verse 3 again, it says, for I acknowledge my transgression. Now this morning it's bringing to you, the Holy Spirit's bringing to you some things you should or should not do. And my sins is ever before me. You see, already this morning the Holy Spirit's already pointing out some things in your life. Yeah, I know he has. Go to have in mind some things you should or should not have done. But still he says, ever before me. Well, we come to church, and we worship, you might tithe or whatever you think about. Do I really think about it? I'm going to church today. I'm here today. Do I think about this ever before me? Do I think about my sin 24 hours a day? Not consciously, but subconsciously you do. if you're guilty of what David is talking about here and what the Holy Spirit's talking about, that you are, because you try to kick out something out the back door, out the front door, and that same sin will run right back around and get in the back door and let you know, hey, you'll not do that. That sin, you know, or you should do this, or you should do this. You see, there's two words or two wounds to a saint of God. It's really, really hurtful to him. One is guilt, and other is sorrow. Now, sorrow is a clean wound. It's clean wound. Now, someone's lost loved ones. That's sorrow. That's a clean wound. Or some terrible sickness. That's a clean wound. After a while, that clean wound will heal from death. You're sorry now, but that will heal. God will heal that wound. But you see, guilt is a dirty wound. And it will never heal. It will fester. It will fester. It will fester. Guilt will, until it is cleaned. Sin stings the conscience. In verse 4 he says, against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest justify when thou speakest and clear when they are judged. David has conscience stricken now. It's there before me. You see, God has already put his finger, or he will put his finger. I like this part because you see, it's not me. It's the Holy Spirit of God. I don't know your heart, I don't know your mind, but God does. And he's already talking to you. Now, this sin, it was against God. Did he sin against his kingdom? Yes. Did he sin against his family? Yes. Did he sin against his wife? Yes. Wives he had. Did he sin against his body? Yes. But he says, Lord, I've sinned against you. Why? Because he knew that he had broke the law of God, and he had broke the heart of God. That's what sin does to us. It lets us know we have broke the law of God and we have broke the heart of God. And that should bother us more than anything else, is that. Because, see, there's a difference between a slave and a son. When a slave disobeys his master, he fears the whip. But when a son disobeys, he fears the displeasure of the father's broken heart. Do you feel that broken heart in God this hour? Maybe of some of your sins, or when you sin. But you see, sin saddens the heart also in verse 8 and 12. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. He's asking now to restore, not to restore his salvation, but just restore the joy of it. Because you see, the most miserable person in the world today is not that lost person out there because there's pleasure in sin for sin, but that saved person out of the will of God is a very, very miserable person. God's going to see that you will not have that joy because of your sin. That pleasure for a season, but then it's coming. Now here comes a test, Pleasant Hill, from the Word of God. Did you know what? You could be a backslider and come to church regularly. You could be a backslider and come to church regularly. How about those that don't come regularly? Well, I just leave it up to the Spirit and the Word of God. That's not even a discussion. But coming regularly, a backslider, I like for you to take the joy test in the Word of God. 1 Peter 1 and 8 says, Who we have not seen, ye love, in whom now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. You rejoice with joy unspeakable. Are you rejoicing today? Unspeakable. Now, you would say, well, no one's supposed to have joy all the time. My goodness. What did the Word of God say? Philippians 4 and 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. It didn't say be happy always. It said rejoice always. Now there's only one thing can take away your joy, and that's sin. And there's only one sin that can take away that joy, and that's your sin. Not my sin, what someone else does to me, but it's your sin. Happiness depends on what happens. Joy depends on Jesus. Now only your sin can take that joy away from your heart. Did you know a disobedient child Most of us are parents, and we know about a disobedient child. But you know, a disobedient child cannot take your joy away from you. It may take your happiness, but they can't take your joy. An unfaithful wife, an unfaithful husband cannot take your joy. I'm going to tell you, our government can't take away your joy, because none of these things gave you your joy. The Lord Jesus gives you joy. And this was David realizing, for us to realize, it comes from Jesus Christ. The joy test. The joy test for us today. Some people have the idea of being a Christian is like taking castor oil. Taking castor oil, you know, you take it now, it's going to be bad, taste bad, but you'll feel better after a while. And then you see, there was a man praying on Wednesday night at a prayer meeting when there weren't very many people. You know, kind of like we have. Sometimes there are not very many people. And he prayed in a prayer meeting. Oh God, he said, be with us now. Help us while the rest of the members are out having a good time. Help us, the rest of them, out having a good time. I'm going to tell you where the good time is when we're here at church. I don't care what you're doing. You're too busy if you're not having a good time with the Lord. And that's some people's idea that, well, I'll come and I'll do it, but I'm gonna have to throw away my good time to come do it. No, the good time is serving and worshiping God Jesus. I'm telling you, that's the great time. Or sometime, you know, you say, feel like going to church, and you know it's kind of like going to a dentist. Who likes to go to a dentist? Some people come to church and they think it's like going to a dentist. And then when we do obey, we grumble and complain about it. Well, I wish they hadn't started on these churchyards when they did. They sure choose a bad time to start. I'm a coming, but I don't want to have to wait in. Even though we might come, we still grumble about it. Where's your joy? You see, a lot of times, as I said, we have come a long way, but it used to be mule and buggy days. And there's old dirt roads. I got to think, I come down the highways from my house. If they was old dirt roads, I'd have a time getting here. I mean, you would too if all of them was dirt roads, no paved roads. I'm telling you, we'd have time getting here. But did you know people still serve the Lord in the horse and buggy days when there weren't no paved roads? And when it rained like this, you know what, they still come to church. And some people have told me that they used to bring their kids to church. You know what, they used to have to wait across a branch or a creek. Right across a branch of a creek, and then we come out here and there's a little mud and we have to make it. We have sacrificed today, have we not? How about the joy test? David says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, because it's about Jesus Christ. Sin also sickens the body. In verse 8, he said, as it sickens the body, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou have broken may rejoice. David felt like his bone was broken. He's making a speech now like you say, boy, I'm crushed under this load of what I'm going through. Have you been under a load of pressure, extreme pressure? David was under extreme pressure while he is keeping all this sin in and hadn't confessed it to God. A lot of people say, now I'm a Christian, I'm a child of God now. If I sin and do this thing, God's going to cast me off. I'm a child of God. If I sin, God's going to cast me off. Let me tell you, that's not true. You know what God will do? He'll squeeze you tighter. He'll squeeze you tighter. He ain't going to cast you off if you're a child of God, but he'll squeeze you tighter. And he'll get tighter and tighter. You say, Lord, I ain't going. Lord, I ain't going to worship you. And he'll squeeze you tighter. And he'll squeeze you tighter. Yeah, he's not going to cast you off. Don't you ever think that. Why? Because he loves you too much. He loves you too much. It says there, make me to hear joy and gladness, that those bones that they have broken may rejoice. If you rebel long enough and he squeezes long hard enough, you know what? It's going to make you sick. Y'all believe that? He's going to make you sick. You won't worship. You won't come. You won't do. You won't. All right, go ahead. What is he going to do? He's going to make you miserable. The reason for a lot of sickness. You don't believe that? Well, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 11 and 30. You know what it says? For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. You know what? That was at Corinth Church, and that word sick, you know what? There was a lot of them sick because they weren't doing what they were supposed to do, and they're doing things they shouldn't do. And he says there are many of you sick because of it. And not only that, he says a lot of them there asleep, and that word is died, death. I'll take your life. I carry to heaven early. I carry to heaven early. That's what the Bible says. Proverbs 17 and 22 also tells us, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. I'm going to tell you, it's good to have this joy. I'm telling you, it's good to have this joy in the Lord this morning. It helps your body. And then you see, sin sours the spirit of a saint. There in verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. I thank you, Lord, for this. Because you see, a backsliding Christian is a cantankerous, old, sour spirit person. You know, they are a critical person. And they'll criticize you. You know that? You take a backslider and they know more about the church and reason ain't things doing this and doing that. They'll find fault with everything and everybody. Ain't nothing going right. I ain't coming because so-and-so in that church doing so-and-so, and I ain't coming this, that, and other. They keep on finding fault. Like I said last week, if you come to worship the Lord and come to find Jesus, you'll find Jesus. If you come to find fault, you can find fault. I guarantee you. There's plenty of it to go around. Well, you know, David is doing this. And here, he found fault with other people too. Nathan the prophet. God sent Nathan, said, go talk to David. So Nathan come to David and says, David, I want to tell you a story. You're the king of this kingdom. I want to tell you a story. He said, there's a man in your kingdom. And he had just hundreds of sheep. And there's a man just had one. And this rich man had hundreds of sheep. He had some company coming by. And you know what? He wanted to kill a sheep, a little lamb for his guest. And you know what? He didn't take one from his hundred. He went and got the only one that man had, that little lamb. And he killed that lamb, and he fed his company. David, what do you think that we ought to do? Or do you ought to do with that man? Man, David was mad as he could be. He jumped down off his throne. He come up and he says, you know what? He ought to have to pay back fourfold for doing that such a thing. Then old Nathan the prophet, he said, David, you're the man. You point your finger at other people. I want to tell you, before we can have a spiritual awakening, it's going to have to be that finger going to have to be pointing back to me. Because I'm the man. And you're the man. You're the woman. You're the person. We're the people of God. And we're the one that needs to repent. You say, we don't need to repent. Yes, you know what? Revival starts in the house of the Lord and the people of God. You see, it's about others. David said, oh, that man. But you know, David, when he pointed to him, the Holy Spirit says, you know your heart. God's pointing at you. The little lamb was Bathsheba. You know, and David stole another man's wife, and he stole another man's life. Backsliders are quick to judge others and also the church. They can find more reason not to come than anything else. But you see, also sin, it seals the lips of a Christian. 12 on down to 15, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, uphold me with thy free spirit, then will I teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from bloodless guilt, O God, that thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. You see, sin in a Christian, it shuts your mouth for you. Can you prove that? I certainly can. Because a backslider will not tell anybody about Jesus Christ. You will not be a soul winner and be a backslider. You will not invite people to come to Sunday school if you're not coming. You won't invite them to Wednesday night if you're not coming. Backsliders, it says. And you know what the people used to sing in this choir? They're not here now. They're not singing no more. They're not singing anymore. There's people that used to teach Sunday school and be here every Sunday. They're not even here this morning used to be teachers. They're stopped because sin in the life of a saint seal the lips of a saint. That you won't do what you're supposed to do for the Lord because of backslidden condition. Like I said, you may be coming regular. And then you see, we come down to the last part of it here. And we see this sin, but how it stops us and how are we coming back? How are we going to come back? How are we going to come back to God? Well, the first word is confidence. So, well, okay, I'm guilty, Holy Spirit of God. I'm guilty. Well, the confidence that you can be back where you ought to be is because that you understand that God still loves you and nothing that you can ever do to stop God from loving you. Do you think that God stopped loving David? He had cold-blooded murder. You think God quit loving David? No. And if you're a child of God, there's nothing that you can do to keep God from loving you. And that is a confidence that we have that he will forgive us no matter what we do. He loves us. Nothing that we can do to take it away. Think about this. And you know what? To think about what God is willing to still love you in the condition that you're in and condition you have been in. And God's pointing his finger at you and think that God loves you here this morning. Regardless of your faults and your failures and your sins. Regardless. And that ought to bring you to your knees and should bring tears to your eyes. And know that God loves us so much in the condition that we're in right now. Even as saints of God. That ought to cause us to cry out to God. Because you see, where there's great sin, there's great grace. Romans 8:1 tells us, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. He still loves you. He brings you together with God the Father. In the early days of this country, when the railroads was being built and going across this nation, there come a time when they was going to unite the Atlantic and the Pacific railroads together from coast to coast in this country. Thing it was unheard of at that time. They set out to do this project. And when this project was finished, the last rail was laid between Utah and Colorado. It was a great, great event of the time, the history of our country. There was a special cross tie ordered from California, it was a laurel wood, very, very expensive wood, to complete the last tie was laid down. And also there was two silver spikes to be drilled into that cross tie to finish this work and have it completed. And it was finished and it was completed. And the work of this transportation across this country from ocean to ocean was bound together by those ties and also by those silver spikes. News went out across the world that the great accomplishment had been made in the United States and all across America, the great accomplishment. The job had been finished with those spikes nailed into that wood on the cross of Calvary. Not two silver spikes, but two old rusty nails or three old rusty nails was drove into the wood through the hands of Jesus and his feet. Then he says, it is finished, and the last breath was drawn. And news went out to the world, there's a new way of transportation from earth to heaven by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I tell you, the confidence. And then the confession, verses 3 and 4, David said, I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned, God. 1 John 1:9 tells us, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's one thing that God will not accept from you or from me or any child of God, and that is an excuse. He will not accept an excuse or an alibi. He will accept only one thing, and that's repentance. Oh, Lord, it's me. It's thee, and I have sinned against you. So we see the cleansing in verse 2 and verse 5 I've read. Wash me thoroughly. And then behold, I was shaping iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Blot out my sin, it says, remove the penalty of it. And then in verse 7, but if we walk, 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in light as he is in light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanse us from all sin. Wash me, remove the pollution of that sin. And then we find out, plunge me from sin. Remove its power. Wash me. And the title, the joy of your salvation. You know, David was a happy man. He was a joyful man because he had repented of what he had done. But you see, you don't have to kill anybody. You don't have to commit cold-blooded murder for this to happen to you and me. As I said, we can backslide coming to church regular all the time. The joy test, do you really have this joy? Are you really the woman that God wants you to be? Are you really a saved person here this day? Are you a man today? Are you a father? Are you the man that God wants you to be? God has read your heart this morning. And he's looked at your heart, and you know what? He showed you exactly what you need to do and what you don't need to do. And you know what? The first thing we need to understand that it's me. Before we can ever have revival across our nation, it's got to start with the individual. It's got to start with each and every one of us. That, Lord, I know that I have sinned. Lord, I know that I need repentance. And I tell you, knowing that God loves us so much, how in the world could he love someone like me? How in the world could he make a way from this old dark, weary earth to a place called heaven? When I think about it, sometimes I'm almost willing to say, Lord, I'm ready to go. Because you see, he will deliver you from the penalty, the pollution, and the power of sin one of these days. I'm just about ready. But I want to see Jesus, the one that loved me so much and was willing to allow those spikes be drove through his hand and his feet to connect this world to heaven through his shed blood. How about you this morning? Have God spoken to your heart? Oh, not me, not me. I ain't nothing wrong with me. Well, you didn't hear this message then, I can tell you that. Have you here today and you say, well, that ain't talk, he ain't talking to me. Well, the Holy Spirit ain't talking to you, you didn't hear this message. I tell you, the Lord has spoke to you, there's one thing you need to do. That's repent, no matter what it is. God's called it out to you. You know what? God don't stutter. God don't stutter. So if you want to come this time to overcome the come of the song of invitation, whatever it might be, you know you don't have to come to the altar. It's up to you to come if you want to. You know what? You could ask forgiveness right where you're at. Thank the Lord for the blessings, whatever it might be. Just whatever God has spoken to you about this morning. You know, might be here and you've never accepted Jesus Christ. You don't have the joy in your life if you don't. You don't have the joy in your life because you see, it only comes from Jesus Christ. And you want to be a miserable person? You want to just keep on living in that condition, or do you want to get right with God? You say, well, how about the other people? We're not talking about other people. God's talking to you. You see, he preached this message to me first. And I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to me. And Jesus Christ is talking to you. And let the Spirit fall where it may. And we thank you as we stand and sing this hymn.